athletic competition. It can easily be broken down into two parts: the minutes or hours it takes to complete the event, then weeks, months, and years of joy or heartbreak. Finally, the decades to analyze and debate it. From the press box to press row, Donald Ware will break it all down for you with an in-depth look at historically black college athletics, as well as the biggest news stories and newsmakers of the day. It's time to talk the talk with those who walk the walk. From the press box to press row, here's your host, Donald Ware.
March Madness is here, and we've got plenty of March Madness to talk about here today on Box to Row. We've got some NFL to talk about also. I mean, you've got free agency, bananas on Sunday. I was doing a show on Sunday, as a matter of fact, another national show on Sunday, and as we were doing this show, co-hosting this show, I mean, not only Myles Garrett had already happened. Myles Garrett re-upping with the Browns at $40 million per year over 4 years, $123.5 million guaranteed. And remember, he wanted out of Cleveland. I think when Cleveland came back and said, well, look, this is what we're going to offer you. I mean, $40 million per year, becoming the highest non-paid quarterback in NFL history. I mean, he had to take it, right? And then on top of that, I think maybe the Browns aren't going to be great this upcoming season. But maybe beyond that, the Browns, we'll see. Like, Kevin Stefanski's a two-time coach of the year, and a lot of the issues with the Browns are out of the hands of Kevin Stefanski. I mean, the Deshaun Watson signing for the guaranteed contract been an absolute disaster, right? So let's see what happens with the Browns moving forward. DK Metcalf, as we were on the air, went to the Pittsburgh Steelers. That is really, really big. Like, you've got all of these. Josh Allen, again, as we were on the air, Josh Allen re-upped or got a contract extension with the Buffalo Bills. $330 million is like $230 guaranteed, the highest guaranteed of all time. So you've got all kinds of things that are happening. Look, thank you for joining me on another edition of Box to Row. Again, thank you to those that listen to us on any of our affiliates around the country, those that listen to us on SiriusXM, and those that listen to us on our website, boxtorow.com. So I mentioned March Madness, and it is madness, as a matter of fact, because we've got plenty of guests that you're going to hear from today here on Box to Row. Clevin Thompson is the interim head men's basketball coach at Savannah State. Savannah State sort of surprisingly wins the SIAC tournament championship. And so, and this is the thing, Clevin Thompson became the head men's basketball, or the interim head men's basketball coach at Savannah State right around January 6th or so, when Horace Broadnax retired after 20 seasons at Savannah State. And so an 8-game winning streak for the Tigers, an uphill climb, no doubt, in the regional on Saturday, has to face off against Nova Southeastern. And Nova Southeastern is averaging in excess of 100 points per game. But that aside, the Tigers are there. And Clevin Thompson, the head men's basketball, or interim head men's basketball coach at Savannah State, going to join us on the program. Also joining us today on Box to Row, Alan Huss, the head men's basketball coach at High Point, going to join us on the program. High Point winning the Big South Tournament Championship as well as the regular season. And so we're going to go to High Point. Shots out to our affiliates there in High Point, Tobacco Road, SportsRadio.com, and WWBG. You're going to hear from Alan Huss, the head men's basketball coach at High Point, a little later on in the program. Then, also joining us today here on Box to Row, the head men's basketball coach at American, Dwayne Simpkins. American winning the Patriot League Tournament Championship, defeating Navy. Dwayne Simpkins, who played, remember, if those, of course, in the Washington area in particular are going to remember Dwayne Simpkins. Dwayne Simpkins played at the University of Maryland. And remember when Michigan had its Fab Five with Chris Webber and Juwan Howard and all of those guys? Well, Maryland had a similar, or had, I would say, a Fab Five also that wasn't as high profile, but ended up putting Maryland on the map and then really may have been one of the catalysts for Maryland in maybe 10 years later, or less than 10 years later, winning the national championship. So Dwayne Simpkins, the head men's basketball coach at American, also going to join us today here on Box to Row. So you see, we're fully loaded today on the program. It's a March Madness type of feel today here on Box to Row. Listen, you can join us here on Box to Row. Hit us up via X at Box to Row, BoxToRow. Follow us while you're there. Also on Instagram at Box to Row, BoxToRow. And on Facebook, BoxTheNumber2ROW. Well, let's talk about the HBCU National Players of the Week first. First up, North Carolina A&T's Jordan Dorsey. Talked to you last week about North Carolina A&T winning the CAA Tournament Championship in just the Lady Aggies' third season in the CAA. And a lot of times when we have these HBCU National Players of the Week, we don't generally give them to a player twice in a season. But Jordan Dorsey left absolutely no doubt a big reason why the Lady Aggies won the CAA tournament. As a matter of fact, she averaged, the CAA regular season, she averaged 25 points, 4.5 assists, 4.5 rebounds, and 2.5 steals, shot 58% from three-point range in two victories for the Lady Aggies last week. And then speaking of Savannah State, Javonte Landy, guard for Savannah State, again, a big reason why Savannah State won the SIAC Tournament Championship, helped to lead the Tigers to a 3-0 record on last week, where he averaged 19 points per game, shot 48% from the field as the Tigers went 3-0 last week, winning three games in the SIAC Tournament Championship to win the SIAC Tournament. A long shot, no doubt. particularly that you look at a team like Miles, who didn't even make it to the Division II tournament. Like, I was very surprised by that. I think Miles was like 23-4, 23-5, or something like that. Didn't even make it to the regionals, which was a big surprise. But again, Savannah State had a hand in that, right? Savannah State, the SIAC tournament champions, and again, just for informational purposes, the Division II, the HBCU Division II men's All-America team is out right now. It was announced earlier this week, as a matter of fact, and you can visit BoxToRow.com to see who made the All-America team. The Division I women's team is going to be released on Thursday, while the Division I HBCU All-America men's team is going to be released on Monday. And you can find those teams at BoxToRow.com. So really, you had a bunch of different signings that happened, re-signings and the like, really. When you think about last week, I mean, again, I was doing another show, co-hosting another national show, and I mean, Davante Adams, it was announced that Davante Adams had signed a 2-year, $46 million deal, $26 million of those dollars guaranteed with the Rams. That was big news. I think that really bolsters the Rams, because if you think about the Rams last year, like, the Rams really battled the Eagles, had an opportunity really maybe to even win that game in the divisional round of the NFC, of the playoffs. And, I mean, if you think about it, the game was in Philly. Had that game been somewhere else, or maybe if it hadn't snowed, and not to make excuses, I mean, give the Eagles all the credit in the world, but the Rams were coming. Different elements, may have been a different situation. Perhaps the Rams go on and win that game, but now you give Matthew Stafford, and look, I never believed that Matthew Stafford was going to leave the Rams. Why would he? And all of the talk that was out there, right? One of the things that's got to be remembered from last year is it was a similar situation last year, because Stafford was only set to make $27 million this year. He's very much underpaid, but his market value last year was low as well. They got him up to the $27 million, worked it out with some incentives, of course. And so last year, the Rams and Stafford worked it out. It was no doubt in my mind that the Rams were going to work it out this year. Like, who are you going to bring in at quarterback? Were you going to bring in Aaron Rodgers and think that it was going to be the same thing? No. Like, why would I go? And Matthew Stafford has more left in the tank than does Aaron Rodgers, although I believe Aaron Rodgers still has at least a year left in the tank. But why would you do that? Why would you break up the team in that manner? And the Rams wisely decided to stick with. And look, they told Matthew Stafford to seek a trade, and that maybe that's one of the reasons that a lot of people thought that that Stafford would leave the Rams, or that the two sides wouldn't work a deal out. But it wasn't that. You go seek a trade, and then because the Rams can nix the trade or say we're not going for the trade, you see what the value is. If you're Stafford, what people are saying you should be getting paid, come back to the Rams, and then the Rams make a decision. And I think the Rams were going to keep Stafford the whole time. Now, if the market said, and the market wasn't going to say, that Stafford should make $60 million, then that wouldn't have happened. But anyway, Davante Adams to the Rams makes the Rams very, very dangerous. Still to come here on Box to Row, plenty of NCAA talk. We've got DeVan Thompson, the head men's basketball coach at Savannah State. We've got Alan Huss, the head men's basketball coach at High Point. And we've got Dwayne Simpkins, the head men's basketball coach at American. Still to come, keep it locked.
From the press box to press row.
Ladies and gents, players and pimps, listen.
You know what it says. It's the one and only Eagle Double G, or a.k.a. Snoop Lion, top selector number one. Rastafari.
With so much drama in the...
It's the 60th Bob Hayes Invitational Track Meet, March 14 through 16. Track events will be held at Hodges Stadium on the campus of UNF. Thursday, March 14, the annual Hall of Fame Gala at the Potter's House International. Friday, March 15, the first collegiate meet at 10 a.m. and the Coach Day Middle School Track Meet, 5 p.m. On Saturday, March 16, the annual Bob Hayes Invitational Track and Field Meet at 8:30 a.m. at Hodges Stadium. For information and tickets, visit bhitm22.org, presented by the City of Jacksonville and Pepsi.
Hey there, fellow travelers. It's me, the Hotel Wiz. Before you go anywhere, call me day or night for hotel rates too low to publish. I'll save you up to 75% on over 500,000 hotels across the globe. You see, I've already done the research, so you don't have to spend time online trying to find the best deal. That's up to 75% off. Just call me, the Hotel Wiz. It's a free call, and you get instant access to rates too low to publish with no cancellation fees.
Make a free call now and save up to 75% off your hotel rooms the next time you're going somewhere for business or pleasure. Call the Hotel Wiz now and get instant access to rates too low to publish. 800 800-811-3471, 800-811-3471, 800-811-3471. Call the Hotel Wiz right now for rates too low to publish at 800-811-3471.
You're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
From the Press Box to Press Row.
Box to
Box
row.
To Box to
Row. Box to Row.
The Savannah State Tigers basketball team won the SIAC tournament championship and the interim head coach, as a matter of fact, he was an assistant coach up until January 6th before he became the head coach. And the Tigers have won 8 straight games. Clevin Thompson, the head men's basketball coach of Savannah State, joining us here on Box to Row. Again, the Tigers won the SIAC tournament championship and have won 8 straight games. Coach Thompson, congratulations and welcome to the program. Coach Thompson, your thoughts on the 67-66 victory over Tuskegee in the SIAC Tournament Championship game on Saturday?
It was a hard-fought victory, but I want to take my hat off to those guys. They came ready to play, Tuskegee, and it was a great championship game. What you want to see in a championship game is two teams that's going to fight hard because both teams want it. And it's sometimes in a game like that, sometimes when you have two good teams, the team that has the ball last and execute the best. We were just blessed to be on the right side of that, putting everything we had all season into just focusing for that game and the different things that we might have seen during the game. They had a big guy that they found something with him and they kept going to that. And it took us our whole team to just kind of rally together so we could do what we needed to do to win the game.
Javonte London is the HBCU National Player of the Week reigning, and he made the free throw that won the game for you. Now, what were your thoughts when he missed the first free throw? It's tied at 66. He misses the first free throw, then makes the second. I don't know. I'm assuming. Did you say anything to him? What were your thoughts when he missed the first?
My thoughts were he'll make the second because I know him. He works hard and he's pretty consistent from the free throw line. That first one he missed, he was on the ground for a while because he got banged up before the free throw. So that was just kind of him, just kind of letting that go, the fall and focusing up. And all we needed was one. I had no doubt in my mind that he would make at least one of his free throws.
Yeah, he had in that stretch from about 5 minutes in until that made free throw, he had about 10 points. Like, he was hot for you guys down the stretch.
Yeah, it's called asserting yourself as the leader, and as a leader, you delegate, you help your other teammates, but then there are times when you also have to understand what's necessary and you have to do what's necessary. And that also comes with preparation. You can't do what's necessary if you don't prepare yourself for that. And like I said, he's one of our hardest workers. In the summertime, he's in the gym every day. He's a local guy, so he's always here, has access. Doesn't have to have a coach around in order to get his work done. So for a young man like that, to see those things happen for him in those moments, it's great to see as a coach because he put the right kind of work in.
Yeah, he had 23 points in the ball game, but then Kwa King had 19 points. Like, he was really – and 8 rebounds. He was really big for you.
Yeah, he was, and that's what seniors are supposed to do. You have – your team is usually made up of category of guys, seniors, juniors, sophomores. But when you're a senior, that means you have seen pretty much everything, mostly everything that college basketball has to offer. So you have all your tools in your toolbox. And times like this is required for you to use those tools. And Quay did a great job using all those tools, not only in the game on Saturday, but throughout the whole season, just giving us the things that were necessary contribution-wise in order for us to be successful and just stay the course as a team.
Clevan Thompson, the head men's basketball coach at Savannah State, he joins us here on Box to Row. At one time, Coach Thompson, you were 10-11. You were 10-11.
Yes.
On the season. So if you were 10-11, that means you were 2-9 in conference. Well, let me see. 10-11, so you won 8 straight. So you were 4-9. You were 4-9 in conference play. You won 8 straight games. What's been the difference in these 8 straight victories?
buy-in, you know, buy-in, understanding that, you know, the coaches and the guys, we want the same things. And that's for us to be successful collectively. So for a player, you understand that when coach is pushing, it's not that I'm upset. I want to aid you with attaining the goals that you set forward for yourself. And sometimes with doing that means I have to tell you when you're not doing something right. And that's just it. All the guys surrendered themselves to us as coaches, and we took our times and guided them every step of the way. Each guy requires something different. And my coaching staff and I did a great job, I think, with just facilitating what they needed development-wise to get them to the place they are now.
What was that like for you? You took over this job on January 6th because of the retirement of Horace Broadnax, who had been the head coach there at Savannah State for 20 seasons. What was that like for you taking over this program in the middle of the season?
At first, sadness, you know, because a brother of mine was deciding to do something different, and we were on this journey together. But shortly after that, he kind of said to me, listen, if I were you, I'd be excited for the opportunity, and I want you to be. He said that he would be okay. Just take advantage of the opportunity. So once he said that to me, you know, it's shift from sadness to just focus. And when focused on what we had to do, we had a game that Wednesday, so I didn't have a lot of time to ponder. You know, my first thing was the guys, just making sure their heads were where it needed to be, and if they were willing to let me lead them. And once we recognized that those things were intact, it's good old basketball as usual. X's and O's, coaching, not coaching personalities, you know, getting them to mesh together, figuring out how they learn so we could engage them more. And one step at a time, we did it. My word is always brick by brick. So, you know, we're still laying bricks.
You know what's interesting, Coach Thompson? I mean, that to your point, the first game was against Morehouse. That's a huge win.
Yes.
Because Morehouse was really, really good when you go back to last season, had a pretty decent finish this year. But then you lose two straight and then lost three of four games. What were your thoughts in terms of when you lost three out of four, and how did you kind of get out of that?
It's the same thing. You know, the talent is there. The talent was always there, but it's kind of, we still had to get everybody to buy in. And what you guys saw with those, you know, those the slippage along the way, slowly but surely, they all bought in. Everyone didn't buy in at the same time. You know, it was a staggered buy-in. And once everybody bought in, hence we took off and we became, you know, we started winning some games consistently.
Yeah. No question about that. For you, can you sort of speak to really give us a little bit about your background? How did you get to this point to even coming to Savannah State and then now, of course, as the head coach?
Well, I returned to State. I graduated from here 27 years ago as a business major. After leaving here, I went over to Old Bethesda Academy, where I coached and worked and professionally for 20 years as a basketball coach. So, you know, I've been in the field for a while and was very successful on that high school level. I think we went to 9 state finals. You know, we're the only high school team to have won a state championship in Georgia and South Carolina. We're the only high school team to have beat Zion Williams in the state finals, where he only lost one in high school, and that was to us.
Wow.
You know, so had a very rich career on the high school level, but also had a great mentor in Coach Bob Weinhauer, which, you know, he's an NBA guy. So my preparation from day one was never on the high school level. Even when you looked at our high school team, the way we functioned and the way we prepared every day, it was greater than the high school level, hence why we had a chance to be successful. So once I had a chance to do this on this level, you know, the structure and the discipline and all those things that come along with coaching, it was already there. It was just understanding the other parts of college basketball, you know, and I had a chance to get some of that last year, this being my second year being here.
Sorry about that, Coach. I got to plug in my computer. We got everything you said. I just had to get
all good.
This computer,
yes, sir,
plugged in before we cut out. All right, thank you. All right.
Yes, sir.
Okay, very good.
Now, before it went dead.
Yeah, before it went dead. Now, I got everything you said. So, okay, here we go. All right. No, very interesting. I mean, especially very impressive to have been one of the teams to beat Zion Williamson's team, when you were the coach. So your reward, your reward for winning the SIAC Tournament Championship is playing Nova Southeastern on Saturday. I looked at it, and it's not, all I'm saying is Nova Southeastern is averaging like in excess of 100 points per game.
Kudos to them, man.
Yeah. What's the strategy? What do you have to do to try to slow them down?
Play defense. And the good thing for us, that's one of our calling cards, you know. So, you know, we respect them. They're a very good basketball team, and they've attained a lot this season. But so have we. You know, we've been through a lot. You know, when you talk about playing the game like that, you have to have experience that you've gained throughout the season and be able to use that the right way. I think we're kind of doing those things. And at the end of the day, we go down there. You know, they're a basketball team just like we are. And we plan to give them a good fight. And, you know, and give ourselves a chance to win the game at the end, just like they do. So, you know, stay tuned. We'll see how it goes on Saturday. But we're going down there not to win, not to lose.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Clevan Thompson, the head men's basketball coach at Savannah State, he joins us here on Box to Row against Savannah State. Big SIAC tournament victory over Tuskegee. Going to play Nova Southeastern on Saturday. Coach Thompson, we appreciate the time. Good luck and continued success to you and the Tigers.
Yes, sir. And just a caveat. I'm from there, so I'm going home. We're going home to my home to play that game. So, you know, it's familiar grounds for me.
Appreciate it, Coach Thompson, and some familiarity definitely can't hurt. Clevan Thompson, the interim head men's basketball coach at Savannah State, joining us here on Box to Row. As mentioned, you talk about winning four games in the SIAC tournament, and that's exactly what the Tigers did, but had some momentum going into the tournament, having won four in a row. And as mentioned, to be able to knock off number one, Miles, because think about this. Had Miles won at least one game in the tournament, that game being Savannah State, had the tables been turned, then, you know, obviously we wouldn't be talking about Savannah State. But we also, even if, let's say, we would either be talking about two things, Miles as SIAC tournament champions, or Miles pretty much certainly would have been in the regionals. But Savannah State said no to that and blocked Miles and elevated itself to the SIAC Tournament Championship and to the regionals. Up next here on Box to Row, Dwayne Simpkins, the head men's basketball coach at American.
You're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
Here with Stephen Curry, your progress from Davidson to now with Golden State.
Where I've come from in high school into a small D1 college at Davidson, and it's a great story, and I'm just having fun, you know, living my dream and riding the ride.
Main event! Jey Uso joining us here. Could there be a possible return to the bloodline?
For me?
Yes. At some point.
I'm gone, D. Hey, I threw the deuces up before. I'll do it again, man.
Come on, main event. That's family, man. I mean, I'm not talking about now. I get it. But down the line, like, come on.
Hey, D, you see how they be treating me, man? Come on, man. That's something. It be your own family sometimes be doing you wrong, Uso. I gotta go, man. Hey, I'm doing all right by myself.
She's Simone Biles.
Actually really fun, like, to be honest, had a lot of fun. We were like, oh, of course, like, we're in the best shape of our life. We're feeling confident about our body, and we hope that other young girls and women, like, feel that being strong is still beautiful.
The one and only Michael Strahan, and cannot have you on without talking about Texas Southern. Cannot. So how did you ultimately end up at Texas Southern?
Yeah, from Houston, grew up in Germany. When I was a senior in high school, my dad said, I'm going to send you to stay with your uncle in Houston and get a football scholarship. So I went to Houston. I played at Westbury High School for 1 year. Texas Southern was probably the only school that saw me play, being right there in Houston and being a local boy. And Coach Walter Highsmith, I went over to see him, and he offered me a scholarship. It was perfect for me, man, to go to the HBCU, to go to Texas Southern. The size of the school, the education they gave me, not just in the classroom, but about life. I would have been swallowed up at another school. I wouldn't have felt as if I really could have made a difference or had a real purpose of being there. But at Texas Southern, I always felt like I could make a difference and I had a purpose.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Skylar Diggins of the WNBA. Thank you for having me. I'm excited. You know, just been able to work a lot on my body and my shape, and a lot of things that I feel like I needed to work on in the off season. Was able to get that done, and you know, it's showing.
Snoop Dogg is on the mic. Pay attention.
I appreciate the love that I get, and I appreciate the sport of hip hop, and it's giving me back that same love in return. You know, for the amount of years that I've been doing it, I've always went into it with the same, you know, spirit of I make music for the people. I make it go for them, and I always make them a part of it. And I never separated myself and tried to be a star. I've always wanted to be one of the people that you can look to as somebody that was, you know, like your uncle because of the way that I treat people. And I feel like my career is representative of that. That's why the longevity is there. That's why the love is there. And that's why I maintain the status of, you know, being relevant for so many years.
I'm talking about none other than Serena Williams.
That was definitely one of the better matches I've ever played. I've had it just like that. You know, I was really focused, just really, you know, excited.
Demetrius Flannery, a.k.a. Lil Meech.
50 Cent in Atlanta told me that he was going to move me from my hometown, Miami, to L.A., put me in acting classes, and I had to go 5 days a week, 2 times a day. Only had about a year and a half, but once I started, I didn't want to stop, you know, so once in a lifetime opportunity, I didn't want to watch somebody else, you know, get the role of playing my father and me having to watch him on TV. Opportunity passed me by, so I just buckled down and focused, man. Put everything to the side and made sure that my number one thing that I wanted to do was focus on being the best possible actor I can be for the show. And that's how it happened.
That is the voice of Kevin Durant.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm just, you know, trying to get better every single day. We've been through a lot as a team, and I enjoy playing with a great group of guys. So, you know, I'm just trying to enjoy every moment of it.
That is the voice of Common. You went to Florida A&M.
Oh, FAMU days were some of the best days of my life. I mean, I had so much fun there. It was, like, invigorating. It was an introduction to a new aspect of culture in the world. I mean, the Southern girls is just incredible. you know, the food was great. The black college experience, you can't beat that.
Kyrie Irving.
Playing at Duke for Coach K. What was that like and how that prepared you for the league now?
Playing 11 games, you know, a lot of people think that's not a, you know, big package for you to become a better player. But for me, it was. Playing for Coach K, he gave me the keys to the car, and I was driving it in first 8 games. And, you know, being a part of something special like that and having a brotherhood built at an institution such as that one is an experience that you never forget.
Ice Cube has been our guest.
Hey, man, thanks for letting me talk a little music, movies, and sports. Hey, my favorite three topics.
Hey, y'all. It is the EST of WWE, the strongest, the fastest, the roughest, the toughest, the quickest, the greatest, the best on Box to Row. Tune in if you want to catch the best BEST interview ever.
From the Press Box to Press Row is the sports talk show that is the voice and the talk of HBCU sports, with a flair for pro sports talk and entertainment. Check the show out online at BoxToRow.com.
That's Box to Row, real, relevant radio. We're going to keep things moving here on the program. We're going to say hello to a gentleman, as a matter of fact, who is in his second season as the head men's basketball coach at American wins the Patriot League, not only the regular season, but the tournament championship with the victory over Navy on Wednesday, as American awaits to see who it will play in next week's NCAA tournament. You're going to know the name. Dwayne Simpkins, the head men's basketball coach at American, joins us here on the program. What's going on, Coach Simpkins? Welcome to the program.
Oh, man, thank you so much for having me, man. There's so much excitement, man, and, you know, I'm happy to be on.
No doubt. We appreciate it. I didn't even know, like, you were at UNCG. You had been an assistant coach for quite some time. We're here in North Carolina, as a matter of fact. But for you, what did – second season, like, you came in, finished in a tie for second place last year. Speak to what it meant to win that tournament championship.
It meant a lot, man. You know, obviously, no matter what sports you play, if you happen to be the last man standing, the last team standing, you know, you've done something special. And if you know sports, man, you've been a part of a team. You know, it's not just one person. It's a complete group effort, from administration to support staff to medical trainers, and then obviously the players and their families. And to have to go through, you know, basketball season is the longest of all NCAA sports, and to go months and months, man, in preparation, and then have to go through the grind of a season and the ups and downs and injuries, disappointments, and to end up the last team standing, man, is tremendous.
Speak to how Matt Rogers played in the game against Navy for you. He had 25 points. and through this tournament, I'm assuming the first game he must have gotten in foul trouble because he had four fouls, four shots, and I think it was like 5 points or something like that. But man, talk about how special he was in the championship game, the victory over Navy.
Well, it's funny, you know, we'll talk about the championship game in a minute, but like that game against Lafayette, our four man doesn't shoot the ball well, and they played a funky defense. And what they did was they just set the guy who was guarding him right in the paint. So Matt pretty much had to be a point forward. He was a facilitator that game. And he sacrificed his own game. He didn't try to force anything. And, you know, on the flip side, we got some really, really good looks for Lincoln Ball, the kid who they were really playing off of. And then it ended up opening up a bunch of three-point opportunities for some of our perimeter guys. So it just speaks to what Matt, man, you know, he's all about winning. Whatever it takes to win, that's what he wants to do. On that particular night in the quarterfinals against Lafayette, it was being a facilitator. And last night, we needed Matt to be Matt, go get buckets and play his tail off on defense.
And he did that. It was a big win for so many reasons, not because you finished it off after winning the regular season, but also because Navy had beaten you twice during the regular season. So speak to how you were able to get Navy this time around.
Yeah. Yeah, the second time we played them, man, Matt was in foul trouble. Matt fouled out, and he played a total of 22 minutes. Greg Jones, who's a fantastic sophomore for us, he was all defensive team this year. I thought should have been at least third team all Patriot League, but didn't make it. He fouled out as well, playing like 23, 24 minutes. And it's one thing when one of those guys is down, when you take both of them out of the equation, that really hurt us. That really hurt us. And so that was an 8-point loss. And we didn't shoot the ball well from three. We had great looks. We were 7-for-31 from three. We do shoot threes, but we want to shoot the right ones. And after that game, I looked at the film and I was like, man, I would only take two or three of those shots back. We just missed shots. And the first game we lost to, man, I give them credit. They punched us in the mouth. It was our very first Patriot League game. I think our guys had a lack of humility coming off of a non-conference schedule where, you know, we beat GW. We played UVA tough, lost by 4 points. We played Carolina. We played High Point. And I'm sure subconsciously our guys were like, hey, this is going to be much easier now that we're in the Patriot League. And Navy was like, nah, like we're going to punch you in the mouth. And they beat us pretty good. So, you know, that was those two games. And I think at the end of the day, man, that very first loss to Navy might have been the absolute best thing for our team to help us refocus and kind of double our efforts and understanding that every night's going to be a dogfight. You got to bring your hard head every night.
That the voice of Dwayne Simpkins. He's in his second season as the head men's basketball coach at American. He joins us here on the program. Of course, played his collegiate ball at the University of Maryland, and we'll talk a little bit more about that later on. I look at the myriad of experiences that you had throughout the course of your coaching career as an assistant at Bishop O'Connell, you know, Sidwell Friends, St. Albans. It must have pained you to go. I mean, not that it was a bad thing, but like you had to leave the area to go to UNCG. And you had been in the area all your life. You were there for like 4 years. But then, of course, George Mason coming back home and then now 2 years as the head coach at American. Speak to how those experiences helped you to become now the head and have success now as the head coach at American.
Well, first I'll speak to my high school experience being a head coach at Sidwell Friends in St. Albans. Taught me a few things. One, I found out who I was as a coach. You know, I was blessed to have two Hall of Fame coaches that I played for in Gary Williams at the University of Maryland and then Morgan Wooten at DeMatha Catholic. And they are very different personalities. And I found myself the first couple of years on the sidelines and in the locker rooms and in practice being Gary and being Coach Wooten. And I had to kind of find my own niche and find my own character, so to speak, you know, just who I was and what I was comfortable with. And it allowed me to do that. And then secondly, it really taught me how to teach, like fundamentals, the game of basketball. You know, it's one thing if I were to be, you know, a head coach at DeMatha at the time, I would have had a collection of talent, right? And the fundamentals, I would have been teaching them, but I would not have had to teach like the bare bones of catch, triple threat position, shot fakes and things of that nature and have patience teaching it and articulating in a way that everybody could understand. It taught me to do that. And I did that for 6 years before I got into college. And, you know, UNC Greensboro, man, was like, it was awesome. for my family and I. You know, when I got into college basketball, I told my wife, I said, hey, I'm not going to do this unless you're 100% on board. And that means that this job could take us to, in this case, North Carolina. It could take us to Florida. It could take us to Ohio. And God bless her, my wife, Kirsten, she said, hey, let's do it. After 4 or 5 years in high school, she's like, I'm ready. Let's do it. And sure enough, you know, after my first year at Towson as director of operations, my first full-time assistant job is at UNC Greensboro. But I would not trade that for anything in the world, man. My wife and my kids got a chance to make some lifelong connections down there. And for us to get away from home, like it showed us that we can do it. We can be our own support system and everything. But I was fortunate enough, obviously, to come back to the area at George Mason. And my wife being here, I got a big family. She's got a big family. So it's always great, man.
I got to take you back. I remember that. So, as you know, Michigan had the Fab Five and all of that. But Maryland had a Fab Five, too. I mean, it was you know, X-Ray Hip, you know, Johnny Rhodes. Those guys, you know, Joe Smith was I can't remember if he's part of that Fab Five. But anyway, part of a team. Those were extra, yep. You know, those were some really, really good teams. What do you remember about those days at Maryland?
Man, just the connection that we had. I remember, you know, beating Carolina when they were number one in the country and all those things, man. But the biggest memories I have, man, is just us in the dorm rooms playing spades, you know, cutting up on each other, playing Sega Genesis. You know, that was when, you know, this before NIL, but we had our name, our image, and our likeness on the videos, and the black little kid, number 10, left-handed, is on the Coach K's game and everything. But those are the things, man, that you remember more than anything. Obviously, you know, we had an out party, Joe Smith's freshman year, and, you know, they were top 15 in the country, whatever. We beat them at the buzzer, beating Carolina at home, going on the road, beating Duke. You know, all of those are great memories, man. But the ones I value most, man, are the ones that nobody else knows about, you know, because it was just us.
Yeah. And then playing for the legendary Morgan Wooten at DeMatha, memories there?
Yeah, practice, you know, like knowing what I know about basketball now, man, like his true genius was using the practice time as a classroom, and not just for basketball, but for life in general. I have so many different life lessons, man, that I apply now as a dad, as a husband, and now a head coach of a program. I apply those things to this day. And I mean, I love Gary to death. Gary was a very good coach, but for me, Coach Wooten was my best coach, man, just because from a holistic standpoint, you know, he hit the nail on the head. But I just remember practices, man, and every day was a time to just get better, just day by day, day by day. And that's where I got my process driven outlook from, is just day by day. By day, putting in the work, man. So that's what I remember most about Coach Wooten.
And then lastly, can you speak to the preparation in terms of getting ready for next week's NCAA tournament?
Yeah. This will be obviously my first time as a head coach, man. We'll get back to work on Saturday. We'll watch some film and slowly ramp up. You know, we'll probably go, you know, hour 25, hour 30 on Saturday. Sunday will go a little bit longer, a little bit harder, get a good lift in. And then hopefully, you know, Sunday evening we'll know who we're gonna play. And so me and my staff will spend, you know, all Sunday night watching film, getting familiarized with the team that we're gonna play, the things they do well, the things we think we can kind of take advantage of. And you know, practice Monday, and I'm assuming very well we could be going to Dayton for the play-in game. We may be flying out Tuesday, I think it is. So, you know, a lot of stuff's in front of us, man. But the most important thing right now is focusing on ourselves for the next couple of days, getting healthy, and then getting back in the gym and ramping up our workouts.
Absolutely. American, 22-12 on the season, 4-game winning streak, heading into next week's NCAA tournament, coming off of the Patriot League Tournament Championship with the win over Navy. Dwayne Simpkins, in his second season as the head men's basketball coach at American, joins us here on the program. Coach Simpkins, we appreciate the time. Continued success to you and American.
Thanks so much, man. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Just two seasons in, As the head men's basketball coach at American, and Dwayne Simpkins already has American playing in the NCAA tournament. And look, Dwayne Simpkins was like a coach on the floor when he played at Maryland, and having played for two Hall of Famers in Gary Williams and the late Morgan Wooten at DeMatha, you knew he was going to have success as a coach. Speaking of 2 years as a coach and winning the tournament, Alan Huss, the head men's basketball coach at High Point, joins us next.
It's the 60th Bob Hayes Invitational Track Meet, March 14 through 16. Track events will be held at Hodges Stadium on the campus of UNF. Thursday, March 14, the annual Hall of Fame Gala at the Potter's House International. Friday, March 15, the first collegiate meet at 10 a.m. and the Coach Day Middle School Track Meet, 5 p.m. On Saturday, March 16, the annual Bob Hayes Invitational Track and Field Meet at 8:30 a.m. at Hodges Stadium. For information and tickets, visit BHITM22.org, presented by the City of Jacksonville and Pepsi.
If you're going on a trip and you need a car reservation, call the car reservation hotline now for access to every major rental car deal across the United States. We can save you a ton of money. Don't get lost searching, and don't get lost in an endless phone tree nightmare. When you call us, there's never a hold time. You'll get connected to a real human. We have access to crazy rental car deals. And we make it easy. Just one phone call to access everything. How much simpler can it get? Find out right now for free what kind of car rental deals we can get you. You'll be amazed. Pick up the phone and call the car rental hotline right now.
Call 800-917-1119. 800-917-1119.
We'll even give you one free rental car day with your reservation. Write this number down right now and call.
Call 800-917-1119. That's 800-917-1119.
Doesn't matter what your sport. He talks your language. It's Donald Ware. From the press box to press row, it's time to talk the talk with those who walk the walk. From the press box to press row, here's your host, Donald Ware.
Let's continue here on the program. We're joined by a gentleman. As a matter of fact, he's in his second season as the head men's basketball coach at High Point. So High Point wins, of course, the Big South Tournament Championship and the regular season. Going to wait to see who High Point plays in the NCAA Tournament. Alan Huss, the head coach of High Point, joins us here on the program. Coach Huss, congratulations. Welcome to the program.
I appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. Glad to have you. Just kind of your thoughts on winning, finishing it off, winning the regular season in the Big South and then finishing it off by winning the tournament championship.
Yeah, I just feel really fortunate. We've got a great group of guys. They've really evolved into a group that's learned to lead themselves. They're an unselfish group, and they're a group that they showed some real poise this weekend. We were in a tough situation. We didn't have our best stuff all weekend after a long layoff, kind of heading into the tournament. We were playing really well. Demarion Williams, who had been out for us for the four games prior to the tournament. With an injury, we tried to add him back in. He wasn't at his best. We were just kind of out of sync, and so we figured out a way to win a couple of games. We didn't have our best stuff this weekend, and you know that's always this time of year. All that matters is just trying to figure out a way when you have your best stuff. You don't have your best stuff. Still trying to bring it. Still trying to find a way to victory.
I think if one were to just look at the scores, you may say, okay, well, the Radford game was really close. It was a 3-point game. Can you kind of speak to that game in particular and how sort of the flow of that game went?
Yeah, we got up double digits and had a chance to really put them away. And they, you know, to their credit, they made some really big plays and we had a hard time finishing. We had a cold stretch there. We missed two wide open threes, had a bad turnover, missed a couple layups, maybe got fouled a couple times. We thought that we didn't finish the play. And, they made us pay and they got it all the way closed down. It came down to a couple free throws at the end, and we were fortunate to get out of there with a victory.
Alan Huss, the head men's basketball coach at High Point in his second season. He joins us here on the program as we talk some High Point basketball. For you, how have you played? Maybe how have you played all season, but particularly in this 14-game stretch, which you've won 14 in a row?
Yeah, I mean, we had a really interesting year. We had a number of injuries in the fall, like really five of our kind of 10 guys that enter the game, missed significant time. Three of them missed, months at a time. All those guys kind of returned all between basically mid-December and mid-January. And so we spent those couple of months really just trying to – I think we spent the first couple just trying to keep our head above water. We didn't play our best basketball without those guys in the lineup. Then once they got back, we tried to kind of learn and develop chemistry on the fly. And we had a stretch. We lost a couple of games early in the conference where we were back healthy, but we weren't ourselves yet from a chemistry standpoint or a cohesiveness standpoint. And so it was good. We learned as we went. We got a little better every week. And then I thought once we hit our bye at the mid-year point, we play a true double round robin in our league in the Big South, so 16 league games. And after the eighth game, we had a bye. And I thought that really helped us. We had a chance to recenter. We had a week to work on us where we had all of our people and all of our bodies in there ready to go for really five straight practices. And that, I thought, was the turning point in the season. We at that point, we started to develop a little bit more of a cohesive rotation. Guys started to understand their roles and responsibilities a little bit better. And we've just kind of lagged behind because of the way those injuries fell and those guys coming back midstream like that. It's hard enough when you just have one guy that's a major piece come back. But to have three or four like that all jump back in the middle of things, I don't know that we were very good, during the months of December and January. And I think we're a better basketball team now.
What did you was there something you learned maybe in last year's tournament that carried over to this year? Because you didn't win, you won the regular season. Also last year didn't win the tournament, but because of that, did that sort of carry over maybe into how to play in the tournament and ultimately winning it this year?
Yeah, I think I have to rewind it back even before that. I think we learned some lessons last season, that maybe were just the exclamation point was maybe put on during the tournament, but we had the same situation last year. We won 12 games consecutively. We had the nation's longest winning streak last season as well. And during that streak, we had a lot of things that were a lot of games where we won and just didn't play our best. And we had a little bit of an invincibility about us that I think helped us win some of those games. But we got in the conference tournament and we had some holes. And we got in the semifinal matchup against Longwood. We were up 16 points with the basketball in the second half of that game and ended up losing. And I think for the guys that decided to come back this season, we learned, number one, that we're not invincible. We learned, number two, that if we don't stay true to process throughout that, throughout a long winning streak or a long losing streak or anything and everything in between, then you're not moving towards your goal as a team, right? And that's really all that matters is in these one-bid leagues is just to continue to get better. You hope you win a lot of games along the way, but you want to be playing your best basketball in March. And I'm not certain we did that a year ago. I think we peaked a little bit earlier during that long streak. And this year, I think we at least learned that lesson, which was that we needed to play our best basketball at the end. And that if we don't do it on any one given day, we can be beaten.
Alan Huss, the head men's basketball coach at High Point, joining us here for a couple of more moments on the program. Keza Giffa, first team all. You've got a couple of first team all conference guys. You've got the defensive player of the year also. But I want to talk about Keza Giffa in particular. Just speak to how he's played for you this season.
Yeah, we've got four first team, second team guys, two first teamers, two second teamers, Kamani Hamilton and Keza Giffa on the first team, and then Damarian Williams and Jeslin Bodo on the second team. And those guys have been, they've been really strong all season for us. I mean, Kamani's, I think his unselfishness, at 6'8" with a 7'2" wingspan and the ability to dribble, pass, and shoot. He's kind of a unicorn in our league. There aren't a lot of guys that can do the things that he can do. But his unselfishness, I think, really sets the tone for our team. Keza's really more of a points guard probably than a point guard. He plays on the ball a lot, but he's really a score-first guy. And I think the second half of the league, especially, he got a little beat up especially when Bobby Pettiford was out. He was kind of doing the point guard thing by himself. He got beat up a little bit. He was the preseason player of the year and didn't have the best first half of conference. I thought that that week to kind of get recentered and refocused on what we were doing as a team really helped him to get to a space where he could be dominant the second half of the conference. And I thought he was the best guard in our league, you know, for this, the second time through conference. So really pleased with those guys. I mentioned earlier, Demarion was, you know, was really steady for us. And he had two injuries this year, a hand injury that kept him out a little bit, and then a calf injury at the end of the season. And, you know, I would argue that he probably had the best year statistically and just overall, you know, of anybody on our team when healthy. He just, he got his season cut just a little shorter than it should have been. And then Jelson Bodo is a 7 foot, 7'8" wingspan. He's the best statistical rebounder by percentage on both the offensive and defensive end in the country. And so obviously having Jelson out there, that he changes shots, he alters shots, he rebounds the basketball, he runs the floor. He has a mobility to him that makes him really, really special. And the interesting thing is, you know, you look at our team, and I would argue we have 4 all-conference players, and I would argue that Bobby Pettiford is probably our team MVP. And Bobby's a guy that didn't win any all-conference awards, but we'd be nowhere without him. So he's a guy that makes everybody around him better. He has an infectious attitude, and like I said, I don't know where we'd be without his leadership and just his steady play.
People in the triad know about High Point. People throughout our state of North Carolina know about High Point. High Point has really come up. You talk about the last 10 years with the campus and the growth and all of those things with respect to High Point University. What attracted you to High Point University and the job as the head men's coach at High Point?
Yeah, I think you just kind of alluded to it. The number one, the dynamic leadership that's led this place to where it is. Nito Cubain has remade this campus and this university into something that's truly special. You know, and then when you start with dynamic leadership and then you look kind of one step further as you peel things back, you see an alignment from the president's office down to anybody that works here. Everyone understands that the main thing is the main thing at High Point. And I know that sounds like in secondary education, that should be the case everywhere, but it's just not. You know, we've got values here. We've got principles here. We understand the way we're doing things. And there's an alignment that's allowing for success that many schools don't think possible. You know, that you can really stand anywhere on our campus, whether you're a part of athletics or whether you're a part of just the university as a whole. And you can, anywhere you look, walk, or see on this campus, you're going to be met with excellence. And I think that's what, you know, when you're trying to build a program and you look around, you see excellence everywhere, you know, whether it's within the athletic department. We have 17 sports here at High Point, and all 17, we compete for conference championships. We're either in the top spot or we're right there. And then you add in, like I said, all the academic programs, the extracurricular things we have going outside of sports. It's hard not, as a coach, to look at the, you know, success everywhere and go, okay, you know, we think we know what we're doing with basketball. If we can just do a solid job here with everything else that's going on, you know, we have a real opportunity to do something special here.
Absolutely. Last thought, Alan Huss, the head men's basketball coach at High Point, joining us here. We appreciate the time. Speak to the preparation and getting ready for the NCAA tournament on next week. How are you guys preparing?
Well, we took Monday and Tuesday, let the guys get told how good they were all day, you know, and really just took some time away, you know, 3 games in 3 days. And those guys have earned that right? They've had a dynamic season and had a lot of success. And, you know, when you're in our spot, we were the preseason favorite. We were the favorite in every game we played this season except one. You know, and when you're in that space, that's mentally taxing. And so taking a couple days to enjoy that and take that in and relax, that's what we did Monday and Tuesday. Once we figure out who we're playing on Sunday, you know, we'll pivot into pregame mode and try to get ourselves a game plan that'll let us compete.
Alan Huss, the head men's basketball coach at High Point, joining us here on the program. High Point wins the Big South Tournament Championship. Also, the regular season awaits who it will play on next week in the NCAA tournament. Coach Huss, appreciate the time. Continued success to you and High Point.
Yeah, really appreciate you having me.
Alan Huss, the head men's basketball coach at High Point. Look, my time is about up. I thank you for yours. Thank you to Alan Huss. Thank you to Dwayne Simpkins, the head men's basketball coach at American. Thank you to Clevin Thompson, the interim head men's basketball coach at Savannah State, for also joining us today here on Box to Row. We were jam-packed. For more information, you missed any of our conversations, visit our website, PressBoxTarot.com. And always remember to support those that support Yo Box Tarot is produced by DW Communications.
I got dollars on my blogger. Serve it to my blogger.